Illumine our hearts, O Master, who lovest mankind, with the pure light of thy divine knowledge. Open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and thine all holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. At that time when Jesus returned, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press upon you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she rose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
Our gospel in this morning is introduced by these words. It says, "When Jesus returned." When Jesus returned. Let's focus on that word "returned" for a moment or two. He is returning from the land of the Gergesenes, were as from the place of the dead. The Gergesenes was on the other side, it says in the Greek. It's on the other side of the sea. Indeed, in the Greek it says it was in the beyond. In the beyond. So he is returning from the other side. He's returning from the beyond. He's returning from the land of the Gergesenes as from the land of the dead. So he's returning as from Hades or hell, where he delivered a man, a certain man, it says, makes one think of Adam, where he delivered this certain man from a legion of demons. Now in the mystery of the incarnation, God is conceived in the flesh of the Holy Virgin and the Holy Spirit. Earth opens unto heaven, time unto eternity, because man has been joined to God. Time has been joined to eternity. The earth has been joined to heaven. Therefore, every event in the life, in the earthly life of Jesus Christ, opens onto the eternal mystery of God hidden from the ages. Now the prophet Jeremiah, remember, he says that the heart is deep, and he uses the word beyond all things. And he goes on to say that the heart that is deep beyond all things is the man. It's the self. It's who you are. Moses, remember, said, the word of God is in your heart. It's in you. St. Paul says that Jesus Christ is the great mystery of God. And he says that this great mystery is in you. In other words, it's in the beyond. It's in the deep of your heart, the inmost self. And the Lord himself says that the kingdom of heaven is within you. The holy fathers of the church teach that the precise point at which divinity is united to humanity in the person of God the Word is in the nous, or the heart. So more deeply then, when the Lord is returning from the land of the Gergesenes, he's returning as from hell in the deeps of the human heart. Moreover, as we said, the heart as the self, as Jeremiah calls it, is that point where we begin. It's that point, if you will, where we burst into being. It's the irreducible point of our being. It's where the real Big Bang occurs. The inmost chamber, the secret closet, as the Lord calls it. It is that place where you exist beyond the world, even as you are in the world. Because the heart is you, and you are always you. Beneath all the changes you undergo as your body, your psyche, and your mind grow and develop in this life of the world. My son, says the proverb, attend closely to my words. Like we say in the Divine Liturgy, let us attend, it's the same word. Let us attend closely to my words, says the proverb. Keep these words in your heart, he says, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their flesh. Can you see how the heart is like a door? You, in your irreducible point, you in who you are like a door. And you open beyond yourself, out onto the life of God from above. The proverb goes on, he says, keep your heart with all vigilance. Keep your heart that is keeping these words with all vigilance. For from these words, the words that your heart is supposed to be keeping, from these words, the springs of life, it says, flow out. The word is the verb form of Exodus. In other words, these words that you're supposed to be keeping in your heart, these words of life, they're on an exodus. They're flowing out. By this word, Exodus, The proverb draws a picture of the life of God flowing like a mighty river out of God and carried into your heart, into the heart, in the words of the Lord, the words of the church. The picture, however, also shows the life of God having flowed into the heart of those who receive him and having cleansed it. I mean, how can the word of God flow into the heart and leave the heart as it was? The word of God flows into the heart. He cleanses it. He enlivens it. He sanctifies it. He even deifies it. And now, having done all of that, this word of God, the life of God that is carried in these words, now flows out of the heart and returns to God. But it doesn't leave the heart behind. It carries the heart with it, so that it would constantly be lifting the heart upwards, out of and beyond itself, carrying it ever deeper and deeper into the beyond of God. It says, when Jesus returned. Now let's focus on the word, on the name Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God who became flesh and pitched his tent among us. That's what it says in the Greek. He pitched his tent among us. That means in biblical language that he made the flesh that he received from the Holy Virgin to be the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. So that the Word of God in the flesh is personally present to us in his flesh and blood that he now shares with us. For you understand, even when he was present to Israel in that Old Testament tent of meeting, even though he was present to Israel, you understand, he was still outside of them because he was in the tent over there. Yes, he's in the camp, in the tent. He's over there. But you understand, now that he is in the flesh, our flesh, he is truly present, not over there, but in here. Wherever we go, wherever we are, he is eternally present in us. The Lord says to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. So you understand that when the Word of God became flesh, it was the resurrection and the life that became flesh that was subject to death. That's something to think about. So what dwells in this moving temple of the Lord's flesh is the resurrection and the life of God. Jesus Christ himself is the life of God, who flowed out of God the Father in the mighty river of the Holy Spirit all the way to Galilee, as it says in the 47th chapter of Ezekiel, and beyond, as we read in last Sunday's Gospel. Jesus Christ is himself the Word of God that was carried in the words of the Lord, for they are his words. They're not our words. They're his words. And through his words, he himself is carried into the human heart that receives him. And he became flesh and pitched his tent. And he became the tabernacle, the tent of meeting that is among us and within us. So when we heard in the gospel last Sunday that the Lord sailed to the other side and into the beyond, to the tombs of the Gergesenes, and delivered a man from the legion of demons, we see the wonder incomprehensible even to angels. The wonder of God the Word flowing from out of God the Father in the life of God, the Holy Spirit, all the way into the deeps of the human heart, even to the division of soul and spirit, into its thoughts and intentions, and into the heart where man has turned his back on God and has become a son of disobedience under the power of the devil, who holds him enslaved through fear of death. That's what the Lord sailed into. In the mystery of the cross, the Word of God flows out even beyond his flesh and into the place of the dead. And you could say that he pitches his tent in hell. He becomes the stone that was rejected by the builders, and the stone is laid as the foundation of the heavenly temple in the pit of hell. And so he becomes present even among those sitting in the region and shadow of death as the light of resurrection and life that shines in the darkness and cannot be extinguished. How can you see then? How can you see how the mystery of Christ's Holy Pascha is present and active in all the gospel events of his incarnation taking place in time before his Holy Pascha? We then stand with the crowd this morning in that same Paschal mystery that is beyond time even as it is in time. We are with them watching and waiting for our Lord to return from the beyond. In other words, from the deeps of our heart where he has delivered us in the waters of our holy baptism from our lifelong bondage to the devil, that we may receive him as our food and drink for the remission of our sins, the cleansing of our soul to life everlasting. So in raising this little girl from the dead, is not the Lord in his spirit flowing out of himself to the other side, just as he sailed to the land of the Gergesenes to reach this little girl on the shore of her heart in the beyond, where her soul now lies like a corpse in the tomb of her body? And deep in the soul, in the mystery of the heart, he reaches out and he raises her up. And he brings her back. He makes her to return with him to the land of the living. Is this not what he does for each of us in the font of holy baptism? So when he commands that she be given something to eat, can we not hear the word of the proverb? To give to her his word to eat and drink. Give to her his word in the form of his body and blood, in the form of Holy Eucharist, that she may live in him who is the life and the resurrection. For the natural movement of Christ's body and blood that we receive in Holy Eucharist, the natural movement of that body and blood, as the body and blood of Christ, is this exodus, this flowing out that goes all the way down into the beyond on the other side. In other words, down into the deeps of our heart where we are unclean, as was this hemorrhaging woman. And to cleanse us, and to create in us a clean heart, and to put in us a new and right spirit, which would be the very spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and to stop the dying, to stop the flow of blood, and to bring us into the land of our inheritance. As we read on Friday, Holy Friday night, from the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, at the Matins for Great and Holy Saturday, and as we read in Numbers chapter 18, verse 20, to bring us into the land of our inheritance, which is Christ himself. Was not the power of the Lord felt going out of him, the Holy Spirit going out in its exodus into the body of the hemorrhaging, in other words, into the dying woman, to bring health to her flesh, as we read from the Proverbs. In other words, to raise her to life, and to make her a daughter of God. He then says to her, daughter, go in peace. But beloved faithful, Christ is our peace. Christ is the word of the proverb that we are to keep in our heart for life and health. So I hear in his command to the hemorrhaging woman, I hear the word of the proverb, which says, remove from yourself a deceitful mouth and a lying tongue. Let your eyes look directly forward. In other words, not into the things of the world. But let your eyes look directly forward. And let your gaze be straight before you. In other words, with the eyes of your mind, keep your mind focused on Christ, who is in you. And don't stray to the left or to the right into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Take heed, it says in the proverb, take heed to the way of your feet. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from all evil. Then all your ways will be sure. For you will be walking on the rock which is Christ, the sure path that goes up as in an exodus to the kingdom of heaven. So let us not seek our comfort or our refuge in the chambers of the world's seductive pleasures, or in the wisdom of the world's opinions, or in the wisdom of our own opinions. These are all darkness. They're filled with death. When we take refuge in the escapes of the world, we're living among the tombs. Rather, let's seek refuge from the troubles of this dark world by falling in step with Jairus and the hemorrhaging woman, to go with them into our house, into the chamber of our heart, to find the Lord there, and to touch the hem of his garment, his sacred flesh and blood, given to us in the words of his holy church and in his holy Eucharist. Let the life of his word be the food that nourishes our inner man, that we may be caught up in the mighty river of his life and health and be carried out of ourselves, out of the tombs, out of our loneliness and our fear, and ever upward to God. In his holy resurrection, amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Christ, glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to God.